The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
I did the wax on, wax off tonight for the first time. So I was doing both hands. For those of you who don't watch on YouTube, whenever the beat drops from the Jacksons, Jason and I do a wave to the listeners, viewers.
Jacksons?
Christopher Laud thinks it. He has a mental one. But then today I did wax on. You know, we're always trying to come up with new dance moves. Yeah. Now that it's summertime.
It's not summer, it's spring.
You're thinking temperature, I'm thinking content. We'll have a good week, 2 weeks of postmortem. Requests have already been sent out to the Monties of the world, Coach Brown, a few others. Try to get whoever we can on. I think we should pick out pretty much every Kings media member and have, postmortem, and I like calling it postmortem because the season died. And then just talk to everyone. G-Man, Kevin John, Matt George, get bearded grizzly Jim Crandall out of retirement.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw him last summer up in some mountain Safeway randomly. What was going on? Why was I up there? I was up there for some reason, and I'm rolling through, and hey, Jim Crandall's in aisle three. He had a beard.
Nice.
Just looked retired in the best of ways. Just grab everyone. Everyone. Okay. Here, there, everywhere.
Yeah.
You. How you doing?
Glad to be home. In that sense.
So did you leave Saturday or Sunday?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I had a travel to get there. It was worse getting home.
The way you answered that and the look in your eyes, because you and I have not talked, tells me that this is a story, though you need to relay it for content reasons. It's not a story you want to relive.
No, so. I don't mind. Yes and yes.
Right. What happened?
All sorts of things.
Really?
Yeah. So I think when I saw you post, like, wheels up, heading home or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just getting home. You left a little over a day after me.
Yeah.
And I was getting home.
Oh, my God. So delays?
All sorts of things. So leaving, let's see, Saturday. Uh-huh. Scheduled to leave Saturday, either OKC or Dallas. Or home, excuse me.
Yep.
And obviously we know the reason where we were going. We were heading home. And left the airport in New Orleans to Dallas and then home was going to be the...
Sure.
And I don't think the flight, what would you guess the flight from New Orleans to Dallas? Hour and a half, roughly?
Yeah, about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think we had one of those where it was about an hour 15 layover. So it's like, okay, perfect, no problem. I don't even know that we were late getting out of New Orleans.
Okay.
But we were flying, like, it seemed like a really long flight. Like, what are we?
Maybe
what,
the winds were hitting you?
Or just something, or were we taking an extra wide route?
The
or
pilots
like,
in the left lane going 55.
Blinker on.
I pay my taxes.
And so it's like, all right, now prepare for descent. It's like, okay, and I'm looking at my phone, I'm like, ooh, it's going to be a little tight. And I go, you know what? And I even had one of the A. I'm like, oh, I want to be an A 1 through 15. Like, I don't want to miss the time I paid for the upgrade to miss that opportunity.
Right.
So... We're circling. Now we go to land, and we do one of those where we go right back up. It's like, oh, we didn't touch down.
Oh.
Okay, and then the pilot's like, yeah, I don't know what he said then. He was like, we're going to have to do a couple of right turns and come back around again.
Okay, like, before you go any further, can I take a guess? This is what I hope it wasn't. Was there somebody political in Dallas?
I don't believe so.
Okay,
it was pouring, and visibility wasn't great.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I still thought, you
know, I got you.
No issues. So we do the circle around a little bit, come back. It's our turn to land. We finally land, and it was one of those hard on the brakes when we land. We're like, okay. But people did clap.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was like, okay, we're good. And then I think the next thing the flight attendant said that came on the speaker said, You know, good news, we made it here safely. Bad news is we don't have a gate and we are going to be taxiing, not even taxiing, parked. Like, you can get up from your seat and use the bathroom. It's going to be at least 45 minutes.
No.
And I went, all right, now it's going to be really tight. But then they came back on. They're like, I know for all of you have connections. Basically, there's a lot of planes delayed, so you should be fine.
Okay.
All right. Look at my phone. And I'm actually on the Southwest app, and I look, and it literally changes while I'm looking at it, and it goes, your flight is tomorrow morning. I'm like, wait.
No.
Wait, why did they move? Whoa.
Whoa.
So I'm with Deuce, but he's at the front of the plane.
Uh-huh.
And he gets off, and he says, hey, are you almost off the plane? I said, no, I was in the middle, and I still wasn't off the plane. He goes, well, hurry to the gate. We still might make it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, great. So basically sprint to the gate. Our plane has not left yet, which it was scheduled to leave like 40 minutes before. I mean, we ended up being on the thing way longer than 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Get to the gate. It's still open. There's 10 seats open, and there's like six of us from trying to get to Sacramento. And because Southwest already, like, we didn't even count on the flight anymore. We weren't registered for there.
Sure.
So that they did that on their own, but we're like, we have our original passes. They're like,
no!
You're basically out of luck. I'm like, well, wait, we are here. And the pilot was actually even vouching for us. He's like, guys, it's common sense. Like, they're here. Why wouldn't we just let them on the plane? And they basically said, no, because you've already been without our request.
Without you doing it.
Yeah. We were already scheduled for tomorrow.
That
like,
is just
usually
moronic.
You get off and you're like, okay, I'll get you to Seattle or Salt Lake, and then we'll get you to Oakland somehow. And it was, okay, well, now where are our bags? And like, well, we could, I mean, they're here, but we could probably, it'd probably take like 3 hours to find. I'm like, all right, we tapped out. We're like, fine. We're just going to the, we've got to a hotel and we had to fly out of Dallas. Now it's not even any straight flight, too. It was yesterday, Dallas to Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
Phoenix home.
Okay.
Went.
All right. Okay.
All right. And then, you know, you get here and the bags were here, but I was like 5% chance. I go, the bags aren't going to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So if we had flown, the game ends on Friday night.
Yeah.
If we had hopped in a car and drove 32 hours, I would have beat the time home.
So two things.
Mm-hmm.
Three things. Number one, that's insane. Number two, that's weird. My flight was actually really easy.
I know.
Number three, Jason. Friend, mm-hmm. If you're not already on this, I'm here for you. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
Number one, what'd you get?
Nothing.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
Because you've already gone through it.
Uh-huh.
You've already gone through the pain. So they did not pay for your hotel?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Which I believe the Kings did, but still the Kings had to.
What if I told you?
Yeah.
What if I told you?
It's like a 30 for 30.
I can guarantee you. If you let me help, and you can pass this on to Deuce, you're probably going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 100,000 to 250,000 Southwest points out of this, not including, okay, a refund for your hotel, either cash or voucher, probably voucher, which is usually 3 to 4x, what your food accrual, everything. Like, they have to. It depends on the right customer service. No, like, there's been lawsuits, and I just went through this about a year ago. Not only do they have to pay for your hotel room, they have to pay for your food and any transportation, any expenses accrued. And then on top of that, they have to come clean with you on and for your inconvenience. And that's where it really gets fun. Like, it's not a... they have to do it. On top of that, oh my God, what a fantastic, I say fantastic, but what an incredibly moving situation when you can say, we were at the gate.
We were.
You did this.
Yeah.
It caused me, the only thing I'm going to ask you is this, and I know that you're probably instinctively going to want to say no, but please God, don't. Can I call them for you? Please, can I call them?
Oh, it's a phone call?
It is.
Yeah.
It's a phone call.
Oh, I don't mind calling.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, if you want to call for me, whatever.
I really do. Can I be your agent?
Mm-hmm.
Can I call them?
You're trying to just accrue all the stuff you can get.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I missed, but I was angry.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's garbage.
Yeah.
This seems like a cash grab.
And then whatever you get, then you just tell Deuce that, and then he can call up and just give his flight number, blah, 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 match it and say, hey, this is what you did for my guy.
Yeah.
Look at his notes.
Right.
And then they'll say, okay, here you go. I'm not saying it's going to justify what you went through, but now that you've gone through it and you're home and all of that, just know that you and your wife or whomever are going to have a nice, lovely amount of
Southwest points.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. It's exciting.
More snack mix for us.
Tons of snack mix. You ever been to Hawaii, Jason? Of course
I have.
How about Mexico? Want to go to Mexico, Jason?
Sure.
I believe they go to Costa Rica.
They do go to Costa Rica.
Southwest.
I believe they go to the DR, Dominican Republic. I think they have a flight there. I know they go to the Bahamas. Yeah, I might have to make a few connections.
Yeah. Connections.
Meanwhile,
you were just straight through.
It was weird.
Each way, I had like the way out with that Southwest lines being cut.
Yeah. No, that we had a nonstop. Well, I actually got lucky, got a nonstop there and back. And then food was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had snacks. I was asking when you left, though, because we left yesterday afternoon. We was like wheels up at like 1:30.
Yeah.
Dude, so you know how hot and humid it was Friday and Saturday, at least compared to here.
It was starting to get sticky in New Orleans. I mean, it wasn't crazy, but you could feel it.
I completely acknowledge that saying last weekend was hot and sticky in New Orleans is laughable compared to the summer. I get it. But coming from here.
Oh, yeah. Noticeable.
It was like mid-80s, high 80s, and super humid.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a sweat monster, and we walked a bunch. It's a walking city. So then Sunday morning, I come downstairs around 7 a.m. from the hotel. There's a little coffee place across. So I come downstairs, pretty much, short shirt, flip-flops. Dude, I had to turn around and go back inside, and thank God I brought a jacket. The temperature yesterday dropped about 30 degrees.
Oh, really?
It was drizzly rain.
Probably the rain from Dallas.
Absolutely. And it was windy, just cold wind. It was night and day.
Yeah.
There was no in between.
Right. I was like, wow. I mean, it was actually cold in Dallas. I mean, it's raining. That's fine. But, ooh, it's cold here.
It was cold as heck.
Yeah.
So, I'm super sorry you had to go through that. Simultaneously, I'm also kind of excited because you there's nothing we can do to turn back timeshare, but I'm excited for what you're, and I don't need anything big. I just need, first, last name, middle initial, your Southwest number. That's it. I can't really do anything with that. Don't need any credit card information. It's okay. And I will be your advocate, Jason Ross, because this is something you need recompense. Yeah.
The funniest line, not funniest, but the line that the pilot kept saying, he's like, guys, this seems, he was talking to the agent. He's like, this seems like common sense. They're here.
That's insane.
Blah, blah, blah. And then he kind of pulled us aside. He's like, I'm really sorry. Look, the rest of this is above my pay grade. I'm like, it's really, that's just a thing you say because you don't know how to fix it.
I hope you're
one of the highest paid people here.
Was he the pilot of the flight that was about to take
off? He was going to be our pilot. He was like, basically, it was almost like he was like, come on, just get on the plane. And it's like, we are here.
Right.
And then they're like, in your bags. We're like, all of us, we don't care. I'll drive back to the airport to get my bag. I just want to get home.
I mean, not for nothing, but I think, hey, if they don't get on, I don't get on. Probably would have worked, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try harder, pilot.
Yeah, try harder.
He was great.
Hope you flew the plane harder than you advocated.
A shameful performance.
It was. Well. Kind of like Sacramento.
Other than that,
you showed up to New Orleans and couldn't connect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what a way to end the year.
Sure.
I mean, they also could have put you on the team plane, but that's for me to say, not you. You're just happy to be there. Good Lord willing.
Yeah.
Did you at least get a good meal?
There's another story around that, too.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. Maybe an off-air.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe tell it off air and then we decide.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be here.
Great to be with you.
Great to be with you. Obviously, today's show is going to be the first of a few, what we will call many times, postmortems, just recaps. You know, we'll do stuff this week like player grades, you know, where do you go? You know,
yeah, they're all speaking today. Their finale with the media, so we'll have reaction to that tomorrow, too.
There's also sound out there, Fox talking about Malik Monk's future, which I think is worth playing. And we'll talk to you guys. Obviously, if you want to vent, if you have questions, if you have statements, 1-800-920-1140. One of our coworkers insisted I do this, just full disclosure, because it's hilarious. Our friend Simone texted me while I was out there and says, I've never had a muffaletta sandwich. I heard you talking about it. Can you bring me one back? I said, yeah, but it would have to travel from the thing and then the plant.
So that's what you said?
What?
That's what you said?
That's what I said, or verbatim. So anyway, she's like, I don't care. I said, so in the downstairs fridge, there is a really rough looking muffaletta sandwich in the
is like the oil already on it?
Yeah, everything. So it's all put together. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be great. It might borderline get her sick, but I made it very clear.
Here it is.
I am relieving myself of any responsibility here. Here's your sandwich. We're good to go. All right, we'll lead it off next with the Sacramento Kings, the NBA playoffs, and all of that right here in your home of the Sacramento Kings, Sactown Sports.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
Second free throw miss. Sabonis is there, grabs his 14th rebound. Fox races up the floor, puts on the brakes, launches a three. It's blocked by Herb Jones. Grabbed by the Pelicans. Jones goes to the rim for the two-hand flush. And now there are two cherries on the sundae. It's 105-96. Davion Mitchell drives inside. He'll get an uncontested layup with 4 seconds to go. And more than likely, that is the final scoring of the evening. For a sixth consecutive time this season, the New Orleans Pelicans have put a hurt on the Sacramento Kings. They do it by 7, the final margin of separation. It's 105-98. And it's the Pelicans who will advance. They will claim the 8th seed in the Western Conference. They will move to Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. Game number 1 scheduled Sunday. Game number 2 on Wednesday. And a disconsolate group of Sacramento Kings will spend the night here in this city and then fly to the West Coast tomorrow. And disappointment abounds.
Well. Sad. Tis what it is. Only one team gets to win their last game of the year.
True.
Could be in Seattle.
Well, yeah.
Wait.
I guess other teams could win their final game, but not make the playoffs.
But not make the playoffs. That's a great point.
But I know what you mean.
We could be in Seattle.
Well, yeah.
We have a new arena.
Yeah.
Could be a 30-game winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Could be worse.
Look, well, yeah, there's always worse. And there's never a good way to lose, but it just stinks when, as the game's going on, you're like, it's not happening, is it? You know what I mean? Like, if it's, ooh, you know, this, and that. And I know there was a couple times I kept looking up and it felt like the score was worse. I go, well, it's 11. It's actually, they can do this, but you didn't feel like they were going to. Not because of them per se, but it's like this. Right. They don't have an answer for this group.
Nope.
And I didn't even think the Pelicans were amazing that day, but they were obviously better than the Kings.
Here's the thing, and I'm just going to say it, and you tell me I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really not. You were there. I was there. Here's what I saw. Not because they didn't want to.
Of course.
I'm not questioning heart or anything. Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis didn't show up, and if they show up, they win the game.
Possible. I mean, the way the Pelicans
That's
played,
how
possibly.
I felt. Watching, and it wasn't like they were crazy. Keegan just, for some reason, his road and home splits, and we talked about this Friday, are 10 points off. He had plenty of open looks.
Yeah.
He was 4 of 12.
He was 2 of 7 from beyond the arc, and I think 1 of 6 for almost the entire game.
Right.
And Keon, God bless him. Again, this is just analysis. This isn't personal. I thought Keon Ellis had just a stanker.
Yeah. Well, look, they beat the Warriors Tuesday. Wednesday, we're trying to give out a game ball. It was difficult because 100%. It was like, man, Barnes, Keon, yeah. Fox, Sabonis, just go down the list. Fox? Just Fox?
Yeah, I mean, Fox, look, nobody shot great. I mean, Sabonis always, you know.
Yeah. I thought Sabonis was fine.
He had 23, 14, and 7 with 3 steals and a block.
He was fine.
Fox had 35, 7, and 5 with 3 steals as well. They had 6 steals in between him and the block. Just 5 turnovers between, or excuse me, sorry, 9 turnovers. I was the wrong guy. I'm not saying they had an all... I'm directing zero blame at Fox and Sabonis.
Yeah,
I just have a hard time with that. And Barnes
kind of got some numbers. I didn't feel he was great, but he got some numbers. He contributed, and
we'll take him. If you'd have told me Barnes would have 17 points in the game, I would have taken it.
But the rest of the group,
the rest of the group, Davion Mitchell brought it back, but he was putrid in the first half. The coach had to remove him, and there was no answer. Like Ellis just nothing.
Did Lyles take a field goal?
Lyles was 0 of 1.
Right.
I mean, when Sasha Vezenkov, God bless him, gets 11 minutes, you know Mike's reaching for stuff in that type of game. I don't want to – look, I'm not saying, hey, Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray cost them the season. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying an analysis of this game.
At that game only.
If I have to simplify it, it's really simple. If Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis are anywhere near what they were against the Warriors, I think we're in Oklahoma City last night.
They couldn't have been better against them.
They couldn't have.
And I don't think they couldn't have been much worse.
I agree with you. I can tell you they could have been 4 Keegan Murray field goals. That's exactly how worse they could have been.
Yeah.
And I know you win and lose as a team.
Sure.
I know that Keon Ellis didn't wake up that day and say, you know what, I'm going to stink the place up.
Right.
I know we're not talking about the defense they played. I'm not talking about their defense. Defense, whatever, fine. I'm saying.
Yeah, the game was there to be had.
They were down 9 going into the fourth, I think.
You also tell me that CJ's going to have, they have 7 or 9? I'm like, oh, they're winning this game.
CJ McCollum, if you told me, would be 3 of 8 with 7 points.
Yeah.
If you'd have told me that CJ McCollum, Herb Jones, and Trey Murphy would have combined for 28 points, I'd have said, let's go.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Pelicans, what they did differently, because talking to some people there, they're like, yeah, they should be playing Najee Marshall more. They like Nance Jr. They went to those guys early, and those guys started to produce. Their bench was way better.
34-12.
Yeah, and just kind of just kept powering through it. I thought the Kings, like, out of desperation in the last 2 minutes, actually made it. You didn't think they were going to win? I'm like, man, where was this kind of, but also it
we've
felt
seen
like
that all year.
Was like, okay, just expire the time. We're not going to lose this.
We've seen them dig holes.
Yeah, because the score at the end was closer than it felt.
Yes, it was not. Yeah, 105-98 was not.
Lost by 7. No.
It was closer indicative. To 20. I truly believe if New Orleans had kept their foot on the pedal, it would have been 20. Also, by the way, this isn't why they lost, but 68% from the line.
Yeah, that didn't help. And then the obvious one, but they'll argue they didn't have Zion. It's true. But over time, I mean, it did. I mean, it would have been great to have Monk and Herter, but they didn't have them. Nope. That would have been the reality. I still think they could have won the game without him. I think they would have done great against OKC. That doesn't mean anything now.
No,
because they didn't get OKC, and they're home.
And they're home. And Cancun is on the way, and there's a lot to get to in the offseason. Look, we had it signed up here to do the other NBA playoff games, and we'll get to
those.
Yeah, but really, this is leading off. This is what matters. This is what people care about. And again, there's other stuff going on in sports. We will talk about that throughout the day. But people care about the Kings. We're going to talk about the Kings because if for no other reason, very soon here, we're not going to have a lot of Kings to talk about. That being said, we will take a break when we come back. The Kings... Well, they're 0-6 against the Pelicans, and we have audio for you. If you wrote a book on this season, Jason, just as we go to break, and it's not going to be any one thing that led us to this. If you had a coffee table book entitled Reasons Why the Sacramento Kings Weren't as Good as They Could Have Been, it wouldn't be a pamphlet. It would be incredibly thick. And thickness matters, I think, to a lot of people, especially, I'm sure, those listening and viewing right now. Good morning, everybody. What better time to talk about girth than right now, when I want to talk about my friends, Dr. Jack Friedlander in Roseville, Dr. Pash in San Francisco. They are real learned doctors, actual doctors. You may remember Dr. Jack, all the stuff we did in years past. Well, now they're making people happy, making a lot of men very, very happy at UpsizeMatters.com with a procedure that can increase that circumference. You like what you got? But you want to be on the all-star team? Go for it. You want to get in the big leagues? Go for it. Whichever works. This is a non-surgical, virtually pain-free procedure. It's safe. It's effective. It's long-lasting. It's semi-permanent. It's a free consultation. Obviously, incredibly private. And the procedure can be done on the same day as your consultation. That's it. That's it. Go to UpsizeMatters.com. UpsizeMatters.com. Get your girth on. We'll take a break when we come back. Highlights from Friday, if you will. Do that next.
Michael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
Welcome back. Spent most of my weekend listening to the new Taylor Swift double album that she snuck out Friday.
You did?
No.
Okay.
But I did see this chart. This is what I'm here for. It was a chart of every Taylor Swift album and then a color-coded bar graph next to each album name of how many swear words she uses. And it just, like, steadily goes up the more successful she is. And then this one is just, like, and then it breaks down, like, each bad word. Like, oh, hey, there was this many F words, S words, B words.
Great details.
Great details. So, yeah, a lot of parents out there getting that new album for their kids. Bring home the...
Parents just don't understand.
They just don't understand. There we go. We might get to this today, but the article Sam Amick alluded to last week...
was teasing for months.
The anonymous player grades on everything from who's your MVP to... what's your least and most favorite arena to play in, overrated and underrated players in the NBA. I can tell you this, there are Sacramento Kings or the team itself or the arena itself that make appearances in things like most and or least favorite arena to play in. There is a Sacramento King listed for most overrated player in the league. There's a Sacramento King listed for most underrated player in the league, coach you the least, most want to play for, stuff like that, making some appearances. Nice. So we'll see if we have time to get to that. But Jason, in the meantime, the Pelicans beat the Kings
again,
6-0. Hey, do you think next year, whenever the Kings play the Pelicans the first time, do you think there's gonna be a lot of, well, they can't beat them seven times in a row?
Well, I was looking back, the Kings beat them the last time of last year.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, is this streak longer than we even know? But for many reasons, Dave, this team is the Kings' demise. The obvious 6-0, but the fact that they didn't clinch a 6, you know, like the Kings could have still been 8 or 7 in other ways because the Pelicans couldn't clinch 6, couldn't clinch 7, nope. And the third time they clinched 8 against
makes
the
you
Kings.
Wonder if they'd have just beat the Lakers, the King, the Kings Pelicans.
Gone to Phoenix.
Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And where would it be different? Would it be the same?
All these different things. They hold on, the Kings hold on to the Suns at home. Just all these different things. It wasn't just they lost to the Pelicans. It was what led up to the loss.
And that's just the last week, and we can list all the other things.
Beat Detroit at home.
Yeah, sure.
Ah!
We knew, though, at some point at the end of the year, we'd go, man, if. And that's, because it would have been nice to avoid the Pelicans.
Would have been really nice.
Yeah.
I want to say this before we get to the highlights. Not that anyone necessarily wants to hear it, but I think it's worth saying. So going into that game, the Pelicans were 5-0 against the Kings. They had lost 6 home games in a row. Now, you know this and I know this. I don't know if everybody knows this, but in New Orleans, it goes something like this. Saints,
mm-hmm.
LSU, Jazz, Food. Mm.
Drew Brees.
Probably some voodoo person.
Yeah.
Some other, like 5 other things, and then the Pelicans. Like, that's the order.
Yeah.
There is not, on the surface, a thought about the Pelicans. I got to tell you, I think the most surprising thing to me, that whole experience, that place was insane. And I don't know if it came through the TV or not. Now, the upper deck.
Yeah, it took a while, I would say.
It was not full. The upper deck was not full. The lower bowl, I think, was pretty damn full. And I was surprised as the game went on. You know, I turned to buddy I was with at one point. I said, if I close my eyes, I think this is Golden 1 Center with how noisy it is.
Yeah, but I think to the very, because I literally had the opposite thought, like when they're doing the anthem. I'm looking around going,
yeah.
There's not that many people here. Like, we're seconds from tip-off.
100%.
And there were a lot of people. But yeah. It was not full. And you're just going, this is basically a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Kings had a decent first quarter, so it wasn't that loud. But as it went along, I'm like, oof. Oof.
Yeah, woof.
Yeah.
It got – I was shocked at how loud it got. And I'll say this, too. Again, probably nobody wants to hear this, but – for the almost entirety, really classy fans, like really cool. Oh. You can tell the franchises that haven't been there and are just happy to be there. And, you know, even the cesspool of social media, of course it's going to happen. The amount of Warrior fans and then some Laker fans that pop in. Ha ha! You thought beating Steph Curry was, you shouldn't have celebrated, morons. Not a single, when I say not a single, I mean, they beat us 6-0 and sent us home. Not a single Pelican fan, at least on my timeline, was talking any sort of garbage.
Right.
I put out
Southern Hospitality.
Yeah, really. And I put out a poll yesterday because I said, you know, I love Sam Presti. I love what Oklahoma City's done, but why am I weirdly am I pulling for the Pelicans? Is this some sort of left brain hip check that if the Pelicans do better, it kind of justifies them being 6-0 against us type of thing?
I did wonder how Kings fans felt about that, because it's like, yeah, you can make the argument, hey, the team that beat you, let them go on and make you feel better. Or it's like, no, I don't like that team, get them out. I honestly don't know what Kings fans want in that series.
Well, I can tell you, a lot of votes on this one. 69%. And by the way, the question was, anyone else weirdly rooting for the Pelicans? 69%.
It was yes, no.
Yeah, it was yes, no. 69% are not rooting for the Pelicans.
Okay.
Which I honestly thought it was going to be real close to 50-50. I misjudged that one. I get it. I do. I get it. Hey, tired of watching them beat us. Love Oklahoma City. I get it.
Yeah.
And by the way, the atmosphere in OKC.
Oh, I knew that would be the case. I've been there many times. That place is great. Which, what I would have, another thing I'm missing, the Kings not being there. If Kings fans also watch the 2 games in OKC against Sacramento, let's say game 1 and game 2.
Yeah.
I always like the response back. It's like, oh, you thought you were loud? Okay. We'll bring it in game 3 and 4.
That
would have been fun back and forth.
It would have been the loudest NBA crowd tennis match you could possibly see.
It would have been.
And they would have just kept trying to outdo each other, and very similar markets, very similar attitudes, by the way. Here's how the game started. It started right for Domantas Sabonis.
Ingram on the run on the right wing to 2-point range. A little stutter step, picks up the dribble, hands it off to Jones. Here's a steal by Sabonis. Kings push 2-on-1. Sabonis euros to the rim, rips it down, and that brings everybody up off the Kings bench. A 4-2 Sacramento advantage after the steal and the end-to-end push. Hi, Domantas Sabonis.
Stop the game.
Well, wait, De'Aaron Fox, he's fast. That's just in, but he's got Herb Jones chasing, one of the best defenders in the game. Herb's not fast enough.
Sabonis handles, comes across the logo, and gives to Fox. Finds a seam, drives inside, right to the rack, and scores. De'Aaron Fox off the dribble. Makes it a 3-point lead for the first time in the early evening. That's 7-4.
How about a couple of Domantas Sabonis? Not one, a couple of Domantas Sabonis steals.
McCollum now isolated behind the back pass, stolen by Sabonis. It was intended for Valanciunas. Kings going 3-on-3. Sabonis digs into the paint on Jones, drop step, up fake once, twice, scores. Good job, good patience on the part of Domantas Sabonis. He has 8, and the Kings lead 16-13. Second time that Sacramento has led by as many as 3. Up fake by Jones, wiggles to the edge of the paint. Indecision, another steal. Sabonis comes up with it. Great defensive anticipation. He looks now. He finds Keon Ellis, who shovels to Fox. Fox now starts right, goes left, then goes right, pulls up off the bounce, and he hits the straightaway two-pointer. And it's the first time that either club has had a two-possession advantage. It's 18-13 in favor of Sacramento.
And that's how it would end. And the Kings went on to beat the Pelicans in New Orleans.
I wish.
How much did you allow yourself? Now you're a pro. You're calling the game. You're doing. I get it. How much, if any, did you allow your heart to open just a little bit as the game began and go, you know what?
Oh, I was there.
I was there.
I'm like, they're looking good. This might. I mean, I go through all those things.
Yeah. Well, it was all fun and games. It was back and forth. It was tied here, tied there. Najee Marshall, a nice dunk, back and forth. And well, then New Orleans, they threw the first punch.
34-31 in favor of the red-clad Pelicans. Brandon Ingram inside the Nance for an easy flush. It's now a 5-point Pelicans lead at 36-31. Kings had a 7-point lead at 24-17. Late first quarter, here's another pass. Broken up, turnover, De'Aaron Fox, Nance with a poke away. Here's Murphy back to Nance, strips it home. Timeout, Sacramento. Pelicans have got momentum. They've got the crowd engaged and fired up. Standing ovation here at the Smoothie King Center. The blender, they call it.
Yes, they call it the blender. You know what? That kind of answers my question. I haven't watched the TV broadcast yet. I don't think those mics do it justice as to how loud it eventually got, actually. That was the first punch. There's no moral victories, and I know nobody's here to hear any sort of, I don't know if I want to call them positives, Jason. I will say this. I never felt like the Kings broke. I never felt like they gave up as they did in, I would say, not gave up, but I would say the Kings broke in 4 of the 5 previous matchups with the Pelicans. There was just a point where they broke. Even when they got down, I want to say they got down, 17?
It might have even been to 20.
Was it to 20?
I don't know.
I know there was at least a 17-point lead at some point. And then you just, yeah, it was 20, 97-77. Every time you think the game was going to be completely out of hand, you felt like the Kings were just kind of, okay, we're going to cut it to 9. Yeah. We'll cut it to 11. We'll cut it to 7 at one point. But in the end, you know, one guy, Brandon Ingram, he's just so damn smooth.
Here's C.J. McCollum now from Ingram. Retreats to the logo. Gives to B.I. Straddles the three-point line. 2 seconds on the clock. One dribble. Launches to beat the buzzer and does. That's the biggest lead of the night for the Pelicans. It's 92-77, and New Orleans looks more and more like they're going to be Oklahoma City bound tomorrow.
Well, spoiler alert, they were.
Yeah, and the amount of people, and you were there too, like that I was telling you, I was getting vibes. Like when we talked to Todd Graffinini, their radio guy on Friday, just a lot of people were down on the Pelicans. And even getting at the game, like a lot of people were like, yeah, I think you guys are going to win. I'm like, what is going on?
That's all I heard was, I think you guys. And it wasn't like false either. Yeah. They really believed we were going to win.
And it was, I almost like, I for myself found like the role of like, hey, you guys are underdogs better.
Right.
Because I'm like, why? Everybody's way too confident. The audio we played with Draymond, this should be an easy win. I'm like, what?
10 of 12.
Barkley, they'll win.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
10
man.
Of 12 ESPN, the whole list where they were, there was just the one that thought we beat the Warriors. I think 10 of 12 thought we were going to beat the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Last thing, I kind of understood, you know, you and I hear other comments, especially out of the Bay Area, where people get really frustrated with Domantas Sabonis' style of play. I kind of understood a little bit of that when you see, it's not a photo negative. He's not as good, but Jonas Valanciunas is a giant side of beef, and Domantas Sabonis is a giant side of beef. and just watching Jonas just pound it down low. And that little hook he has, and you're like, he's just basically shouldering you. Yeah. And then I went, oh, my God, shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. Yeah. Okay, that's what we get. I can't bitch about that. Valanciunas was sublime. I thought he wasn't perfect, but he all but can't. He and Domantas Sabonis all but canceled each other out. Yeah. Sabonis is slightly better.
Yeah.
But
that's a win for the Pelicans.
That's a win for the Pelicans. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll switch it up for one of the few times today because it's a benchmark. We do it every day at 6:43. Safe or out, we'll get into some baseball very, very quickly. Then back to the Kings and Pelicans and three for madness. Don't go away. We're back right after this.
Safe or out. It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings. It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Just a quick aside, because where else am I going to put this? Hey, now. Congratulations to Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, man.
Because of the rain delay, he has won the whatever the hell tournament it was in Hilton Head. RBC.
RBC Heritage.
Yeah, Heritage. I think you're exactly right. Jason, what's interesting about Scheffler here is that Scotty Scheffler, on the list of highest earnings in a single season, Scotty Scheffler holds the number one spot. Last year, he made $21 million. This year, if Scotty Scheffler were to take the rest of the year off, and by the way, we just started.
Yeah.
Scotty Scheffler would be $200,000 behind John Rahm for second, all time.
Wow.
Scotty Scheffler in the last 42 days has earned $16.3 million. That's good enough right now for third all time in a single season on the PGA Tour.
Wow.
That doesn't count like I think you get $13 million for the FedEx Cup, which is why Victor Hovland's fourth. Like, that is insane. He is on, like, this is a fun little golf side that we will not get into, but
The game of golf.
Thank you, Scott. I don't know in the history of golf if there has been a less talked about player that is on more of a heater than Scott Scheffler right now.
And part of that, I think, is the LIV PGA split, right?
I agree with you. Part of it is.
But he's still great.
Scotty is like an incredibly sweet, awesome, grounded person. He's everything you want a sports star to be. Also, if he has charisma,
he hides it.
He hides it pretty well.
Scotty, like, doesn't know.
Exactly. He just kind of is comfortable in his own skin, and I love him for it. But he's on a Tiger-like heater right now. Be interesting to see. And he's just getting started, man. All right, safer out. Christopher Laud, baseball time, question one.
The largest lead of any team thus far is the Cleveland Guardians at 3 games. Safer out. This party will last.
There's a lot of parity right now, and that's partially because we're, what, like an eighth through the season, mm-hmm. this long, sloggy 162-game, completely unnecessarily long season, in my opinion alone. But when you look at each division, Jason, it is going to be an absolute slugfest between your Yankees and Orioles. Baltimore's a half game back, despite Jackson Holliday being like 1 of 97.
Yeah.
The Rangers have a half-game lead on the Mariners in the West. The Braves have a one-game lead on the Phillies. The Brewers have a 2-game lead on the Cubs, 2.5 on the Reds. And the Dodgers, who did win yesterday, they're just a game up on the Padres, a game and a half back up on the Diamondbacks, and just 2.5 up on the 10-13 Giants.
Hey.
Will the parity last out? I do not know. It won't. I mean, these teams will adjust and
get their separations,
but I do think a couple of divisions, the Central in the National League and the East and the AL at least are going to be just slugfests.
Yeah, and for the sport, there's arguments to be made for both. Like if you had a Dodgers just kind of run away with it in the regular season, maybe a team to watch or fun.
Yeah.
And then you root against them if they're not your team in the postseason. But to have parity keeps more teams in. I think that's good for baseball. But I'm with you. I don't think it will last out.
Safer out question two, please.
Safer out. There is a bright side for the Giants.
Yeah, safe. Logan Webb looks fantastic. Every bit the Cy Young candidate was last year. Blake Snell, you got to think, is only going to get better. The new guy from Korea, already love him. Can't remember his name. Jung. I always mess it up. That's why I'm not saying it. Love Matt Chapman. I think with the emergence of Blake Snell, which will eventually happen, this team's not going to get any worse. But again, I think they're what we thought they were, about a 500 team.
Yeah, I think it's safe. The fact that they're still in the division, right? It's a really good division with the Diamondbacks doing what they did last year. The Dodgers have all their talent and the Padres being good. So they're still there, even with not that great of a start, I don't think. So that to me, that's the bright side.
Safe. All right, finally, safer out, question three.
Safer out, there is a bright side for the A's.
Yeah, I think what they're doing right now is safe. They're not going to win a World Series, but you can kind of see there's some young guys on this team that there is some talent. I mean, they'll obviously be probably traded at the deadline for cash, but at least right now, I think they're winning more than they're losing, and I appreciate the job that management and the players are doing to try to at least shield themselves as much as they can from the drama and the crap off the field. So it's hard not to root for these guys. They have nothing to do with relocations. They're just trying to play baseball.
Yeah, and so far so good. They're navigating through that. So I say safe as well. Maybe the record's a little better than we thought. They've hit a little bit of struggles here lately, but good for them. Just keep battling and see what the A's can do.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Kings fall to the Pelicans. We got some more audio for you. And speaking of the Athletic, is Mike Brown on the hot seat at all? They address his contract situation. We'll let you know what was said next.